Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio Programs, and whose fault it truly, really is.
All the time.
I am Greg, and here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. I'm going to give you a big shout out to all of our underwriters and partners out there. Find out who they are. You know, go out and do business with them. Thank them. Listen, it's time to stand up. One of our partners and underwriters on the Gulf Coast is Alan Turner, Alan Turner Automotive, and we just thank God for Alan Turner, and he is like us. Let everybody know that I'm a believer, and boldly for God, and as a matter of fact, every one of the cars that you get from him, you drive away based on what Brett Holderbaum is telling me, that you get a Bible in your glove box.
Really?
Imagine that. Not only do you have lights in front of your car and lights in back of your car, but you have light in your glove box.
In your car.
You have the true light that will make sure that nothing happens to those lights on the outside of the car. Right. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So get a chance. Go visit our partners and our underwriters and say thank you. Remember, we're standing up for God. Three important pillars. It's time to stop complaining and yelling at the darkness. It's time to be the light. Stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. As a matter of fact, speaking of Israel, we're going to be talking today and continuing our conversation about is America being organized? Is the world being organized? And if it is, you know, what is our responsibility as believers? How do we listen? It doesn't matter what the world does, and you can't keep blaming people who never said they wanted God, or they just made a new one up, about what's happening in your life based on your relationship with God, who you profess to have a relationship in Jesus Christ. Listen, if God is inside of you, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is sitting on the throne of your heart, what are you doing anything and shouting at darkness? It's time for you to be the light. And he said very specifically, you know, that you need to go into darkness out there and let your light shine. Get it out from under the basket and 56 hours of work during a week just so you can get a bigger boat. You know, get out there and begin to shine your light. Listen, the presence of darkness is not that darkness is creeping in. Darkness has been over the face of the earth. Thick darkness has been over man since the fall of man. But guess what? Jesus is the light of man. He came to give us the light. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are the light of the world. Go let your light shine so people could see your life. When you walk in the light, which means you're walking in the ways of Jesus, and you know what they'll do? They'll say, God is good, because they'll give glory to God if you're truly walking in the light. And if you're not walking in the light, but you're walking in religion, they'll give glory to you.
That's right.
That's how you know whether you're in the light or not. You know, they're asking for your signature instead of God's.
Huh.
Right? And if you're giving it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they did ask for Paul's signature, but he said, are you crazy? Get off the ground.
Get up.
I'm a terrible man like Pat. Stand up. Stand up. What are you doing? There's so many good things going on right now. I mean, the church is waking up. The church is waking up. Imagine this huge giant. I saw a piece of the giant once, because remember, we're one body, and you're only a part of, sorry to say, you know, you're a part of the body of Christ. You are not it. Mm. You're part of it, and Jesus is the head of it. So, if you don't get along with your other parts of your body, it's sort of like cancer, isn't it? It's like rebelling against, and all of a sudden you're like doing your own thing, and all of a sudden you're like a tumor. Right?
Yeah.
It'd be like a tumor.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, it's not that you're not a cell anymore, but now you're just kind of multiplying on your own, and you're just like a lump. You know what I'm saying? You're like a lump, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be a lump. God can heal. I just speak healing over that cancer in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. But things I'm hearing, man, just speaking about the Gulf Coast area, give a shout out to all of our listeners from around the world. And I'm telling you, our listeners in the Middle East, we love you just to know that you're there and you're listening, and we're together being light in the midst of the Middle East and letting the Muslims know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life and that he'll forgive them, and it's not about works, but he will restore them and just great things. And the most intimate term in the Bible is that I died for you. Mm. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life. God laid down his life, his son, for you. And you can tell everybody that. And we're partnering together. But I want to give a shout out also to the Emerald Coast and the Gulf Coast there, because I know that I heard myself, but I'm also hearing from others that, and we're seeing, we're actually going to be talking about it today, as a matter of fact. Hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to talk about it, that the Baptist believers in America are beginning to get really stirred. And they're saying, like, the best thing that's happened to the church is the collapse of the Bible Belt. Is the collapse of the Bible. As a matter of fact, in just a moment, I want you to listen up in just a second to what CBN News is reporting from what's being said, and I want to talk to you about this.
Dr. Russell Moore is the new head of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Through the years, the ERLC has been a major force in engaging Christians to fight the culture wars in the public arena and through politics. In his inaugural address, Dr. Moore took a tone that is different from the past. He suggested there's no such thing as a moral majority, and that the Bible Belt is collapsing, and that the religious right at its worst became a kind of prosperity gospel, promising the American dream plus Jesus.
Dr. Russell Moore joins us now from Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Moore, what do you mean when you say Christians are no longer the moral majority, but the prophetic minority?
Well, I mean we no longer can pretend that we're a moral majority in this country. I think for a long time we assumed that most people in America agree with us on basic values and that we're simply adding the gospel to those values. I think as we look around American society right now, it's very clear that a large number of Americans disagree with us about some very fundamental things. I don't think that's anything to panic about or to wring our hands about. I just think that's the normal default position for Christianity in the world, and we need to recognize it and engage as such.
So how does this reality change the way Christians should engage the culture, especially on hot-button issues of the day?
Well, it doesn't mean that we disengage, but it does mean that we understand that we're engaging in a mode that seeks to persuade our neighbors. We don't see our neighbors as already being with us, and we also don't see our neighbors as being our enemies, as opponents to be vaporized. We instead recognize that we're speaking on behalf of Christ, and that our ultimate goal is gospel reconciliation.
That's what so are important. Some of the don'ts right now for Christians?
That's so important in regards to that. You know, you're listening to Dr. Russell Moore, the Southern Baptist Conference Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, and God's beginning to move, and we're going to talk more about that, but it's just to hear is like we're finally realizing that we are part of a kingdom called the Kingdom of God that's within us, and we are going to unintegrate ourselves from trying to wrap ourselves around. I mean, think about it. If you wrap yourself around the American flag, and I wrote about this a long time ago, E Pluribus Unum, that we are many. Mm-hmm. You know, there were one in Christ, but we're many. We're not just Americans, but we're Chinese, we're Russian, we're not American Christians, we're Christian Americans.
Right.
You know, we're not Mexican Christians, we're Christian Mexicans. We're not, see, I'm saying this like the country, whatever nation we're in comes second, because the first nation, the ethnos, is that of Jesus, because he created a new nation. And so now you're starting to see, like Dr. Russell Moore says, that this is so exciting, you know, and we're going to talk more about that, but also want to just share with you a couple of things we're going to be talking about today, on today, the first and the extra hour. We're going to continue the conversation and the question, answering the question, it's just searching it out. You know, is America and the world being organized? Is it being organized like a community organized? Is it being organized, and what does that look like? And if it is, how do we respond to it as the church, as Christians? You know, not as some organization, not as some corporation. I'm talking about as you as a believer, how should you respond? And I feel like Dr. Russell Moore, I mean, he's nailing it. He's totally nailing it, and we'll talk more about that. Also, today is the first day of the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as the Obamacare, that's brought into law, and the Congress and the Senate are wanting to fund it. So I guess it started today. In addition, though, they actually are refusing to fund it,
right.
Congress is. And so the government's on shutdown today.
Yeah.
Shutdown today. And the reason why, this is all together, this is a convergence. We're not telling you, like, imagine if you're in the center of something and all these little rays of information are shooting out from that one place. No, this is all over layering light that I'm talking to you about, because this all goes together in regards to it's being organized. This is timing. Listen, God has shown me. You can go back to VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and you can see, you can click on prophecies, and you can see where God has shown us what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to paper money, and this whole thing's being set up. And we're going to talk more about that in the first and second hour, talking about what does organization look like? What is, you know, and just because you're organizing something doesn't mean it's bad. So we're beginning to explore. But the first thing we found out yesterday, if you missed the last half hour of the extra hour yesterday, was that the tips that are being used, according to Marshall Gantz, who was being interviewed by Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer and Company on PBS, you can see the public broadcasting service, you can see this on the VFN Torch, they're actually using Lucifer for tips, you know. And you may think, if you've seen the VFN Torch, it's like, oh man, they're going out there. Why would they even say using Lucifer for tips on how to organize America and the world? Really? I mean, that's the question. I mean, think about it. I mean, if somebody is using Lucifer for an epicenter of change, you got to say somebody's using Lucifer as tips, if they are or if they're not.
Right.
And I just want to say out front, too, that, you know, we could have put a man in a suit, you know, when they were putting together the post on the VFN Torch, and you've got to hear the first part of this conversation. But that is that when you see what's described, what Lucifer looks like, what he looks like. You know, Pat, talk to us. What has God shown you when he's shown you? Because, you know, the Lord's given you the ability to see. It's interesting, the realm you see and the realm that I see. We all come together and we see. It's like, I'm glad I don't see your realm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But tell me what, you know, the things that you've seen, how the enemy, how the Lord has revealed to you the enemy in regards to Satan.
Yeah, well, several times I've seen images of, you know, demonic giants and demons and even Satan himself. I've seen, you know, lizard-like looking skin. I've seen the teeth. I've seen Satan. He's just red color with the horns coming out of his head. I mean, it's freaky stuff. I mean, I've seen it all.
But you think about it. You know, the world's been around for a little bit. And you didn't talk to anybody, right, that was around 1,000 years ago, right?
No, I didn't.
Are you sure now? Are you positive?
I'm pretty sure. I wasn't there.
You know, I've seen some actresses that said they were like dogs in past lives,
right,
and cats,
right,
and birds and stuff. Okay, so that means then the same one that they paint and they show and they diagram 1,000 years ago, or, you know, 2,000 years ago, he's the same devil as he was. I mean, that's the way that God describes him, right? And so when they were working on putting together that post for you, our listeners, to be able to read and to share. By the way, you can go to the VFN TV app, you know, and you can share it. You push a button to share in that exact segment, just that one segment, you can send it to anybody in the world, and they can click on it immediately, no matter where they get on their computers or wherever, or their phones, and they begin to listen to it. So that picture, that picture is not far-fetched.
No, it's not. That's exactly what I saw.
And you look at the teeth are like shaved down to like points.
Yeah, like fangs.
Yeah, yeah, fangs, and the horns coming out like a ram.
Coming out of his forehead, yeah.
Coming out of his head and all that. And so, you know, I would think if I saw that, listen, if anybody in PAC could tell you, I used to go, what? Where is this AM radio stuff coming from, right?
Yeah.
I was like, turn that stuff off, you know, because it seemed like they were far-fetching, really, truly. Anyway, we just won't talk about it. But we want to be able to, we're not going to filter out what God's showing us.
Right.
And so you have to understand how evil Satan is. And he even looks evil. And he hates God. God, by the way, God hates Satan. And you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And Satan loves darkness and uses darkness, and he holds people captive to do his will. Do you really want to partner with this hater of God in the context of that? And do you want to use his concepts to be able to organize the earth and organize your nation? Do you really want to do that? And what we're going to discover today, as we're going to be talking about it more and more, is you know, is America being organized? Is the world being organized? And, you know, prophetically, of course, it is going to be. And you always want to project, I mean, if you have any kind of sense of you don't want to suffer much, I mean, you always want to project, man, it's going to be real tough for those guys one day. Oh, those poor guys, you
right,
know.
Right.
I got a chariot that's going to swing down and pick me up. Swing low, sweet chariot. And so in the context of that, but the truth is, you know, this could be the generation.
Yeah.
This could be, if we actually were reading our Bibles and we're meditating on the Word of God and allowing God to speak to us, which according to George Barna, of course, we always say it, but you need to hear it, so you move out of it. 97% really are not doing that. They call themselves Christians. And so it's okay. They're not tithing either. So, hey, listen, everything's consistent. They are not, you know, I'm not honoring God, not reading about God, not praying to God. It's like, anyway, so in the context, it's not all right. I was just being cynical. Anyway, so in the context of that, that so many things are being fulfilled so rapidly. That, you know, we can't even tell you how quickly it's happening. We're just trying to just skim the cream off the top and just says, I don't know, run for your lives. Don't get on the train, you know.
Stop.
Don't buy into the condos. They're ghettos. Don't buy into that. They're ghettos. They're like, listen, when you used to be able to buy washing powders, for example, based on what I heard, in a big, huge box. And what they found out was something like 80% of the washing powders was nothing. It was nothing. It was inert, just fluff.
Wow.
And the real stuff in there was probably maybe about 20%. I'm just roughly estimating it. And so they finally just said, you know, let's just sell it in the concentrated form. In other words, they were just selling fluff.
Right.
They were just selling fluff. And so what they did was they concentrated the washing powders. Or you can get, you know, you think about, you can get a glass of orange juice and you can drink the orange juice, or you could take the lemon that was put in the water and just have just the lemon alone. So that's concentrated. It's like concentrated, which means all the lemons are together. But when you hear something about concentration camps, that means we're going to bring you all together. Right. And it's going to be just like a thick batch of Christians and Jews and stuff. And don't worry about it. We're going to put guards around you and lord over you and protect you, so that you can be safe, because we created a whole storm against you. Right. We have people hating on you right now, and we're going to protect you from the storm that we created. And isn't that just wonderful?
Right.
You know, and with our big box of popcorn and drink. Okay, great. Oh, cool. We got condos in the camp. Right. And of course, it won't be, you know, the camp, you understand, that just, it was just a piece of property that was set up to concentrate people. So you think about it in the context of the evil that it was, and you're reading ahead because you have the history to read. But listen, our history is not fully written yet.
Right.
And let it be said of us that we did everything within the leadership of God's leadership in our life to be the light in the midst of our generation, that we just didn't lay down, but we did like Tyndale and begin to transcribe. And we did like others who had just paid the price to be able to put the Geneva Bible together, and to the pilgrims that just, you know, push their way to a land that they could raise their hands and say, Jesus is Lord, you know, and one nation under God. And so we're going to be talking about these things, but I just want to continue the interview. And also, hopefully we get a chance to be able to talk about, you know, how green brown grass looks from a distance. I'm hoping to talk about that, because so many people are so tied up in envying other people's yards, per se, and it's like, listen, just spend a little time with them. They're just like you. We're all the same. Every one of us are the same. We're living in the same world. We have the same issues. We're creating the same image, same likeness. We have living in the same economies. We're all the same, and everybody's doing their best. Quit envying your brother or your sister or someone else's stuff and start living your life. It's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Does an employer have to respect an employee's religious views? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for a local fire department, and I had made a complaint about the language and the way that the conversations often tend to go in the fire department, that they were vulgar and really not the place for this type of business. And I was told that this was the culture of the fire department, it's more of a boys' club, and that that's just how it was going to be. And I was just wondering if there's anything that can be done about that, if you do find that language offensive, or that you feel that it creates a, you know, a hostile work environment to work in.
You know, the hostile work environment issue has been mixed with met with mixed results, actually, in the courts. I would say that, you know, you should talk to the management, the supervisors there, see if you can get it resolved that way, rather than a direct head-on-head, you know, legal confrontation in the courtroom.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now, and they're trying, and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org, and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful that you might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional, and it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that He has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make His heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet Him. He's not far from you, but He had to make a way for you to get to Him. And He did that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that, and it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that He can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, He can totally take that away from you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet Him. Listen, He wants to know you. Are you ready to know Him? You've got to meet Him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat Hamilton. We are talking today about the exciting turn that's taking place in the church, and people are believers are waking up, and it's so cool to hear Dr. Russell with the Southern Baptist Conference, the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission, talking about how this is a good thing, because we've been selling people on America and just giving them Jesus, and we're supposed to be a separate kingdom. who are Christian Americans, not American Christians. And let's continue to listen to CBN News. Dr. Russell, continue to talk about what's happening, the good phenomenon that's happening right now in America.
And that our ultimate goal is gospel reconciliation.
What are some of the don'ts right now for Christians engaging in the culture?
Some of the dangers right now when it comes to engaging culture is, A, to disengage, to think that our neighbors aren't important and that we shouldn't speak about issues that might be unpopular. But another danger is for Christians to speak with a kind of outrage and a kind of a vitriol that we really shouldn't hold. We're people who believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is alive. That means that we don't have anything to panic about. We don't have anything to be outraged about. We instead need to recognize that we're fighting a spiritual war that is more significant and more important than any of the little culture wars we have going on around us.
Are you saying that Christians should pull back from politics?
No, Christians shouldn't pull back from politics, but we should engage politics in a different way. I think we should think about politics in a more realistic way, where we recognize that we're going to have small incremental gains at times, but our larger message is one of prophetic witness.
We're seeing an organized push on behalf of some churches that they want to officially endorse candidates from the pulpit. How does that mesh with your outlook?
I don't think that a pastor should endorse a candidate from the pulpit, but I don't think it should be illegal for a pastor to endorse a candidate from the pulpit. I think the government shouldn't be interfering in what goes on within local congregations.
The Christian Post quoted you as saying, "The Bible Belt is collapsing. The world of nominal cultural Christianity that took the American dream and added Jesus to it in order to say, you can have everything you ever wanted in heaven too, is soon to be good riddance." What does that say about the state of the church in America today?
I think it's a very optimistic picture of the church and one that should fill us with hope. There was a day when it actually did people something good, culturally and socially and even economically, to be affiliated with the church. Well, the problem with that is you wind up with a powerless, culturally accommodated, nominal church. I think now, with the Bible Belt evaporating around us, we have the opportunity to be the church, to be a sign and witness to the kingdom of God, and that's good news.
Dr. Russell Moore, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on your new post. Great speech and great insight.
That is so exciting. You got to check that out on the VFN Torch. Watch the full interview right there at VFNTV.com. Click on the torch or go to CBNNews.org. Listen, that is Dr. Moore over the ethics in regards to the where we are presently today in the church. And, you know, not America and all, but it's interesting what he said was that we took the American dream and just added Jesus to it. And right. I always did. I mean, ever since I met Jesus and Jesus introduced himself to me, I was always curious of how integrated the church was politically. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's so insignificant compared to the kingdom of God and the creator of the universe. But then I've been again to look at history and study history and find out, oh my goodness, the enemy has done that for years.
Right.
And anytime the enemy will always use religion and government to crucify the body of Christ.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened, wasn't
that's right.
it? You know, we're talking about how God is beginning to wake up the church. And I heard Dr. Ted Traylor of All About His Church in the Emerald Coast, Pensacola area, make a statement about how he wants revival. He wants revival, and that's it. Just God, have your way, you know.
Right.
Just a humble, real humble man.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand right now, him and probably maybe 170 other pastors now are in Texas, just in a hotel somewhere, just praying for revival.
Oh, wow.
Praying for revival. And to hear the Ministry of Ethics for the Southern Baptist Conference, Dr. Moore here, mm-hmm. and to hear also about how positive it is with the collapse of how they're talking about that it's a positive thing, that the collapse of the Bible Belt. And always, you know, always because, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not. Anyway. And so, you know, you don't appreciate that you've been beat by the Bible Belt.
That's right.
And Jesus was beat by the Torah Belt, you know, when he was walking on the streets. Here is God, Emmanuel, mm-hmm. and the people who had the Torah, the quote, Bible,
mm-hmm.
and they beat him with it. They beat him with it
right.
in the name of it. And so when God begins to do something, you know, whatever the nominalists, I guess you would say, of the church is that Dr. Moore's talking about that we've become, then all of a sudden you'll find people moving in the flesh instead of in the spirit, and they begin to try to make it happen. And all of a sudden what was begun in the spirit has now ended up in the flesh, and now people are just trying to, and it's really tough. And he's like, my goodness, we took the American dream and added Jesus to it. And that's what it seemed like. And so you have people that would integrate the flag with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 5% of the world's population. And guess what? God loves all the people in the world.
Right.
And so I can see where it's one nation under God. And we know we talked about America, how we got here and how we stay here. But America is not God. America is allowed by God. It's allowed by God. And if we turn our backs on God, then he will unallow it. He will unallow it.
That's right.
Somebody says, nuh-uh, you know, 5 years later, he's like, wow, he unallowed it. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you. I appreciate that very much. And so we were talking about, so at the same time, you have to understand, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times, because now all this governmental mindset of, because this is what Lucifer told God, the Son mm-hmm. of God. He said, listen, he said, I'll give you this and I'll give you that and I'll give you the kingdoms. They were given to me. I'll give them to you if you'll bow down and just submit to my system,
mm-hmm.
to me. And so Jesus didn't say, well, you're a liar. That's not true. He said, it is written to worship the Lord thy God only, which means this, that though you have things and though you're in government and though you may have benefits and things, worship God, not money, not stuff, not things, not programs, not political parties, you know, not nations. Worship God in the context of that, and realize because of the fall of man in the garden that the enemy, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness covers people, and don't think that if somebody does not know God and is not walking in the light, that they are held captive by darkness to do Satan's will.
That's right.
And we're supposed to be light in their life. You can't scream at them and tell them to act light, mm-hmm. L-I-G-H-T. You just have to love on them and hope that they would receive the light. And then their minds are no longer blinded to be able to see what's actually going on in society. But until they're saved, until they've given their life to Jesus and they receive the Lord, you know, not some religious whatever, they actually can see they got light. Because the first thing you see when you get saved is yourself.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I'm a sinner. Yeah. I'm so bad. Oh, my goodness. Dear God. And he goes, I know, and I love you, and I'll forgive you. And you just lay your sin down at the cross. Mm. And if you've never had that experience, you've never been saved. Because the first thing you're going to see with the light is yourself and the awesomeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have that experience today. You can Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You have to meet my Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. You can find out more about that as we shared a couple of our stories and a little bit about our stories at meetmyfather.org. Let us know if you make Jesus the light of your life. Well, we're talking about, you know, what's going on? Is America being organized? Is America being organized? And is the world being organized? And if it is, what do we as believers, how do we respond to this? And what we ended off yesterday and the first beginning of this conversation, it's just a conversation, you know, is, and we're exploring, we're letting God just kind of lead us in this and in understanding the context of this. We're not saying that people are bad or this going on. We're just saying, hey, this is what's going on, you know, and quite often what happens anyway, the people that are being used to do dark things, they see it. They're convinced that this is good for the good thing. And so in their mind outside of God, they're really trying to do something well,
mm-hmm.
but they won't know until they know Jesus, have the light in their life that right. you know, my goodness, I am actually trying to be God.
Mm.
And so we're going to begin, you know, organizing, and organizing is not wrong. I mean, you think about it. I mean, Pat used to be a real organized person. Used to be. I mean, he had he'd take his change out of his pocket and he'd stack his quarters up, his nickels up, his dimes up, and his pennies up. And now Steve does that. I see him laughing in the background back over there, right? No. By the way, if you missed the stories about the glory of God manifesting, you got to catch them. They're on the VFN Torch, yesterday's program. God is healing. God's delivering. God sits on his throne and loves you and has a plan for your life. You can find out more at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But, you know, understand this, that so what's going on? I mean, if it's being organized, it doesn't mean it's bad. As a matter of fact, as a leader, when you elect a president and a congressman and a senator and judges, for example, get appointed and some get elected, it's the point to kind of keep things organized and keep things. So it's not wrong to I think it's kind of anal to stack your quarters. Yeah, I think it's kind of a little overboard, you know, and to iron your socks. That's a little bit too much. But hey, whatever, you know, if you just know underneath your pant leg, you got a sock with no wrinkle in it, that's totally okay.
All right.
But all humor aside, I hope that's aside, and I hope that was humor. Anyway, so are we being organized? And as we begin to look at this, you hear about the one of the men that was working on working in the year in America for years to help organize workers and organize Americans is Marshall Gantz, and he's being interviewed by Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer and Company on PBS. And you can see this. You go to VFN Torch and go right to see this entire interview. But I want you to be able to hear again, because we're looking at and going to be talking about in detail today a book that he quotes from by Saul Alinsky.
Oh.
Isn't it interesting that Saul was persecuting the church, and then he encountered God and became Paul?
Mm.
Isn't it interesting?
That is.
He was headed to Damascus,
right,
to organize the people against people of the way. And then I meet Saul.
Yeah. Interesting.
Alinsky. Anyway, so and Marshall has done some pretty cool things. And me, as you heard earlier, you might not have caught the first part and you need to catch it. You know, I used to be a community organizer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the training. I've been to Applegate, California with the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing. You know, I walked with those from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And understand some of the context of it. So the things that are being said by some of them are just good. I mean, it's really good. They're really trying to help bring justice for all. I mean, think mm-hmm. about even with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who actually was biblically sound and constitutionally correct.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in the context of God, of the humility before God and before man, and walked out something so powerfully. He set an example for us
mm-hmm.
as a man of God, which I believe is an apostle, that how to hold America to what's on the paper, the Constitution, while living up to the paper, which is the Word of God, under God in humility.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about that on yesterday's segment as well. But and so I want you to hear this. So he's talking about different ways to organize. And you can hear more about yesterday. But he's talking about social movements and social movements matter and how movements build and where Yes, We Can came from. And that actually came from the Farmers Workers Union that started off in the Southwest. And Marshall Gantz was part of that, in which they had this horrific law that wouldn't allow them to be able to organize to get fair wages. In that area, he's done some great things. And so here he's talking, though, about Saul Alinsky. Let's just call him Saul Alinsky.
Right.
I wish we were to call him Saul. It'll help us out to kind of get this paradigm. A book that was written called, he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. Rules for Radicals. Something like Bill Ayers and Underground, and he talks about all these in his books. As a matter of fact, I was reading it last night, just you know, going through it and just kind of getting some. And he's saying, you know, what we've learned, and that's crazy. We don't need to do that kind of stuff. What we got to do is get into the structure, get into the structure, and become the congressman, become the senator, become the president.
Right.
We got to get in there, and that's where we're going to do things. We're going to begin to change the paradigm that way, and we got to shift our organization. Organizing to the middle class, which is the bigger part of it. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to begin to you're going to hear this from Marshall Gantz, and we're going to begin the conversation. Pick it up again.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. VFN Dream Center, you think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up, church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat, and we are talking and continuing our conversation about, is America being organized? Is America being organized? And is the world being organized? And if it is, how do we as a church respond to it? And we wanted to start off with where we ended off yesterday, in hearing Marshall Gantz being interviewed by Bill Moore. He talks about organizers, and in the context of that, he said what community organizers do. And he talks about polarization. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that because we're seeing a lot of polarization going on right now, and it's being very successful and polarizing. And hey, you know, if that's what they're organizing, and that's gonna, if it's a positive thing, that's one thing. But in regards to it, is we don't, as the church, we don't need to be naive. As Christians, we don't need to be naive to what's going on.
Right.
So let's hear what Marshall Gantz is saying to Bill Moyer on his Bill Moyer and Company show. And you can see it in its entirety by going to the VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and then that will carry you right directly to Bill Moyer's show. Listen, this is Marshall Gantz talking about community organizers and how they do things. And notice he's going to quote from, this is what we're going to talk about today, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. Listen up.
And I think that those of us who wanted to do more about economic justice and immigration and climate change needed to do more. We had to be contentious. That's how it works. It's like this idea that contentiousness is somehow alien to democracy. Oh, yeah. And that consensus is somehow what democracy is about, and that polarization is bad. Paralysis is bad. But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
And that's you're looking at the, listen to Marshall Gantz, and he's explaining about, and this is a man who's given his life, his life, and how to walk out community organizing, and he teaches it, at, I believe it, I can't tell you right now, but it's either Harvard or Yale, and he's gone and traveled, and he's done some real successful organizing, bringing justice to some folks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But right now, and what you would have heard earlier yesterday, that the president, who also was a community organizer, and you know, I was too, that he hired him or brought him into his campaign to help him organize. Well, of course. I mean, that's like we said, if like you play for the Saints football team and you decide you're going to run for political office or something, it wouldn't be surprising to find out another player on the New Orleans Saints was actually helping you with your campaign. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, and not only that, that you want somebody that can organize to be in your political campaign or whatever. So that was probably real wise to do that. But then you find out, you know, in the regards to, but so yeah, I mean, it looks like things are being organized, but what are they being organized for? And when you read Rules for Radicals, and I encourage you to read, it's time to begin to just don't take people's word for it. Don't take our word for it. You know, go in the Word of God. Find out yourself. Get the Quran. Read it. You know, read the Book of Mormon. You know, read Rules for Radicals. Get knowledge about what's going on. And quit just trying to get everything in sound bites and get informed. You'll be really surprised how easy it is to make clear decisions when you find out people what's happening right now. It is in our face. It's not a secret. It's happening right in front of our face. We're being organized, it looks like. Mm-hmm. But the thing is we're being organized for good or bad. So he quotes from Saul Alinsky in his book, Rules for Radicals. But you have to understand that book, when you open the front cover of the book and look in the inside cover, it's dedicated to the very first one that ever had rebelled and in default got his own kingdom, Lucifer.
All right.
So he's quoting... He's taking tips from Lucifer about how to organize. Well, that's not, you know, I mean, the church wouldn't do that. You know, Christians aren't supposed to do that, you know, in regards to, you know, those that follow Jesus.
Right.
But you think about Satan was offering Jesus. He said, listen, I'll give you these kingdoms. Listen, I can organize a few things for you, put some things together. Mm-hmm. You know, you just about, I mean, he was trying to organize a life for Jesus, wasn't he, in the wilderness. I can organize this thing for you. But, of course, Jesus was loyal to God. Mm-hmm. His father. And so we're going to begin to talk about, you know, what is this Saul Alinsky and this particular book called Rules for Radicals was written, I believe, by Saul Alinsky while he was in jail for his rebellion against society, you know, government. And so when you think about, when I was reading last night in the book Rules for Radicals, that polarization, and we'll talk more about the basic rules here, but we'll break them down and we'll say what a rule is, and then we'll look at what does God's word say about that rule for us. Mm-hmm. Now, they can do, we're not saying that somebody can't do that, but we're going to say, what do we do as Christians? And the last thing we need to do, we got to stop doing, is telling people who are not Christians, who never said they wanted to follow Christ, trying to tell them what to do. We're becoming, you know, some historical, if you look back at religion, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Versus, no, that's not, you know, we honor people's decision. If they say they don't want to follow God, if they don't want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, and they don't want to read the Word of God and the Bible, you just dust the dust off your feet and move on. You don't say negative things about them. You don't hate on them. You don't lie to them and tell them that God doesn't love them, because mm-hmm. God does love them. And even if they walk away from him like the rich young ruler did, it says, but Jesus still loved them. That's the message that we got to be able to carry, and that's the truth. Mm-hmm. But in the context of what happens is, and we'll talk more about it, but the world, you have to understand the word polarization. Because in polarization, when you're polarized, it begins to... I mean, think about north and south would be straight up and down, and east and west is horizontal, right?
Right.
So those are exact polarizations of each other. So when you say polarized, one person is yes and one person's no. When you say polarize an organizations, then you would say some organizations are north and south, and some of them are east and west. They're exact opposites. Mm-hmm. And so one of the rules you'll find out is to, in organizing a community, organizing. I mean, think about it. Even think about rebellious children who are trying to organize the family in the way they want it to go. They will polarize the mother and the father against each other. Mm-hmm. And they'll have the mother at north and south and have the father at east and west. Mm-hmm. And then they'll play those two and they'll push them to the limit. And then they'll finally get what they want. And all of a sudden, everything's back to normal again.
All right.
That is tips from Lucifer how to bring to organize for a negative way. Mm-hmm. So it's not nothing new. It's been happening since day one. But the thing about it is, as Christians, we have to be careful and understand that's not what we do in the context of that. But the polarization right now, what you're looking at, and people are talking about the news, and they're thinking, this is insane. They just scream at their TV, this is insane. Or they read a post, this is insane. No, it's not insane. It's polarization. It's polarization where you have America's being polarized in regards to other nations. All of a sudden, we're put at some adversarial viewpoint to the other nations in the world with the apology tour. And all of a sudden, America is the one causing all the problems. Mm-hmm. Our soldiers and our military has been polarized in regards to who they are in the context of the rest of the world. And all of a sudden, these heroes now, they're being told in some instances, in some case, that they're actually were causing problems. And they're the ones that just listened to the direction of the leadership and went and served the commander-in-chief, you know.
Right.
But now they're polarized. Then you look at marriage, and marriage is polarized. Well, you have some people that say marriage is this, and some people say marriage is that. And it's like, listen, this is what an organizer wants. An organizer's success is when things do get polarized. This is a great environment for chaos and confusion where someone comes in and begins to say, okay, here's the new order. Here's a new world order. Think about that. Here's a new order. Let's just come in. And when you have wars, when wars happen, boundaries change, borders change, governments change, the DNA of how things operate change. And so that the climactical point of organizing, there's conflict. And that's what Bill Gantz was talking about. That's what, if you listen to the first part, that's what he was talking about in the context of that. He said there's contention. Well, you know, that proverb says where there's contention, there's pride. And so in the end of this interview, and we're not going to play the end of this interview, but you can see the whole interview by going to VFNTV.com, click on the torch and just watch it. It'll carry you right to Bill Moyer's direct broadcast of it. As he says, if you're not for yourself, who will be for you? Mm-hmm. And he says, if all you are is for you, then what good is that?
Right.
What good is that? So then why not be for you and for others? And the truth is, as Christians, we're not for ourselves. We deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow mm-hmm. the Lord. And we're for him and for others. But we deny ourselves. So it's not about, and that's the big thing. You know, most people buy into these community organizing, and when it's used in the evil way, because I get something out of it. Mm-hmm. I get something out of this. What's in it for me? And with that, that's twisted because now you're looking at pride. Mm-hmm. You're looking at pride, and pride comes before
a fall.
And so America's being polarized, religion's being polarized, the Middle East is being polarized, Israel and Islam's being polarized, and our health is being polarized with the Health Care Act. All is being polarized. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour. You got to catch it. We're going to continue this conversation and get into the meat of this polarization. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your. And I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier, be a source. you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place.